From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Join us for KPR 105 Live from the Dole Institute. Food trucks at 11:30 and a concert featuring Alexa Dawson at 1 p.m. Thursday, June 4th. Live from the Dole Institute. More at doleinstitute.org.
It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, 86 in Abilene. It is 6:06. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 in Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, many other frequencies. They're all listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us heading into the evening hours here on this Memorial Day. Appreciate you including KPR in your plans. In approximately 12 minutes, we will have an update of news headlines at 6:36. We will tell you about the Pope's new encyclical, what it addresses. We will find out about Uyghurs fighting the Syrian war. And we continue with our series called Wild Card. This time around, singer-songwriter Noah Kahan talking about what he calls the superpowers that come with depression and anxiety. You'll hear that story at 6:45. Stay tuned here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering custom concrete patio work across the KPR listening area. More information about available services is at SpiderArt, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
KPR's own classical host, Destiny Ann Mermegan, appeared in a Doreen Mirande professional recital, along with her husband, Michael, who teaches cello at UMKC, and some other special guests as well. Join us tonight at 8 o'clock for a repeat broadcast of Classics Live.
Do you own a business and value the programs on KPR? Your fellow Kansas Public Radio listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR and reach your fellow public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
Ring the dead,
which sometimes could take 1, 2, or 3 days while people are living close to the dead body.
How to handle remains that are contagious. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is the show. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
News headlines are coming up in a little more than 30 seconds. It is 84 degrees in Lawrence, 82 in Emporia, 84 in Manhattan. It is 6:30.
Advocates say calls to protect access and care need to be part of the political conversation around affordability. Elena Moore, NPR News.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Authorities are investigating after a Wichita police officer shot a man dead on Saturday. The incident began when police were alerted to a man pointing a gun at people and vehicles. When police confronted the man, he retreated to a wooded area. An armored vehicle then approached the man, who allegedly fired at officers standing on the vehicle. After an exchange of gunfire, the man was dead. That man was identified today as Kiam K. Ahmedi, 36, of Wichita. No police were injured. The KBI is investigating. Emergency room visits for tick bites reached a 9-year high this spring, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That comes as cases of tick-borne illnesses like Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever continue to rise. Ticks can pick up viruses when they feed on small animals in their early life stages. They then pass on the virus when they latch on to larger animals like humans, and that can turn into disease. Jonathan Kamek is an extension specialist at Oklahoma State University.
If all the stars happen to align and, you know, you get bit by the the right life stage of a tick that's got the right life stage of that pathogen in it, then you could potentially become sick.
Shorter and milder winters mean ticks are emerging earlier in the year and staying active longer. Many states are now asking residents to send in ticks for testing to track the spread of species and diseases. For the first time in University of Kansas history, Kansas baseball will host NCAA tournament regional matches. The Lawrence Regional will run from May 29th to June 1st with a maximum of 7 games played at KU's home field, Hoagland Ballpark, in a double elimination format. The NCAA tournament bracket was released today. Kansas is seeded 15th overall and will be hosting teams from Arkansas, Missouri State, and Northeastern. Tickets for the Lawrence Regional will be sold on an all-session basis or on a single-game basis. All grandstand seating will be reserved, and tickets go on sale to the general public on Wednesday at 10 a.m. This is KPR.
Support for Peralta is with us now from Venezuela's capital, Caracas. Inter, good morning.
Join us for a front-row seat every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Front row seat awaits you tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We simulcast on both KPR 1 and KPR 2. Tomorrow, your local host will be Matthew Algio. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too, sort of scattered around the state. Thanks to the generous contributions of listeners like you. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU's School of Professional Studies in Overland Park, home to master's and undergraduate degree programs. Options include fully online, in-person, and hybrid. More at sps.ku.edu.
Hope you'll stay tuned. About 11 more minutes of All Things Considered. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, up next, 7:01 news headlines, followed by Stardate, then an hour of classical music. At 8 o'clock tonight on KPR One, a different kind of classical music. Classics Live, Music of Destiny and Mermaiden and Friends. At 9 o'clock, we shift gears entirely, and it will be Jazz in the Night. On KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, we have This American Life.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
It's 10 minutes before 7.
This is All Things Considered.
Full of optimizing the purchasing experience paired with delivery options. Dedicated to empowering teens. More at AmazonBusiness.com. And from Fisher Investments, a dedicated advisor can help build a comprehensive wealth plan. Learn more at Fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. This is NPR.
Whether we're reporting from the front lines of change or shedding light on what it all means, wherever Morning Edition goes, you go too. Bear witness with us every morning from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Thanks for joining us as we close out this Memorial Day, heading into the evening hours. Up next, we have news headlines and Stardate, followed by an hour of classical music. At 8 o'clock, you will hear a rebroadcast of this past week's Classics Live.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Join us for the 780 Songwriter Circle, presented by the Lawrence Public Library and KPR, hosted by Chris Mola, featuring local artists Arthur Dodge, Kelly Hunt, and Julie Schwarting. Free at the Lawrence Public Library June 10th at 6 p.m.
The time is 7:01. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. U.S. Central Command says its forces carried out strikes today in southern Iran. The targets included missile launch sites and Iranian boats the U.S. says were trying to lay mines in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. says its actions were self-defense, saying the strikes were designed to protect American troops from threats posed by Iranian forces. This is negotiators from the U.S. and Iran held talks today on ending the war. Meanwhile, President Trump's take on how the deal is going has changed. Over the weekend, he said the deal was, quote, largely negotiated and that the strait would reopen. But Iran had problems with the deal, including reportedly concerns about the strait, its nuclear program, and its funds that were frozen by the U.S. New research finds President Trump's stepped-up immigration enforcement is being felt in child care. This as many child care centers lost workers following his return to office. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports the findings were published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
The sharp escalation in ICE arrests that began in early 2025 coincided with a drop in employment at child care centers, the team of researchers found. Under Trump, no longer were schools and daycares considered off-limits. Some centers closed classrooms, others shut down entirely. For immigrant women working in more visible and regulated settings, the declines were significant, the study found. Meanwhile, employment in private households rose. The researchers note such changes can have ripple effects across the labor market, especially for lower and middle-income parents who have a harder time absorbing higher prices and uncertainty. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Pope Leo is addressing artificial intelligence with the release of his first major teaching document today. Claire Giangrave of Religion News Service has more from Rome.
At the heart of the encyclical, called Magnifica Humanitas, or Magnificent Humanity, is a simple message. Human beings must come before machines. Pope Leo says that the future of humanity cannot be left in the hands of a few wealthy tech leaders. He warns of new forms of exploitation behind it, from hidden labor to rare mineral mining to data taken without real consent. Amid the rise of AI companies, automated warfare, and systems that can shape what people see and believe, Leo says responsibility must remain in human hands, and he calls for more public oversight to disarm AI. For NPR News, I'm Claire Giangrave in Rome.
Today is Memorial Day, the day when the United States mourns its fallen service members. Flags were placed at tombs at Arlington National Cemetery outside Washington, D.C., but the day has also come to signal the unofficial start of summer, along with sales at area stores. This is NPR.
Stardate, May 25th. Lightning may flash through the skies of Mars, but don't expect to see big, jagged streaks like those produced by storms on Earth. Instead, they may be tiny sparks, like fireflies twinkling through a summer evening. On Earth, lightning is generated by the motions of bits of ice inside clouds. As the particles move past each other, they build up an electric charge. They discharge as lightning. The clouds on Mars are high and thin, so there's no way for them to make big lightning bolts. But the dust grains that swirl through the Martian atmosphere might generate their own discharges. And two recent studies found evidence of them. In the first, researchers combed through recordings made by a microphone on the Perseverance rover. They found 55 instances of small crackling sounds near the rover. Almost all of them happened during dust storms or when small dust devils passed the rover. The scientists decided the most likely explanation for the crackles was tiny discharges, lightning bolts about a centimeter long. In the second study, a team looked at observations made by the MAVEN orbiter. The scientists looked for radio waves produced by lightning, which are different from other types of radio from the planet. They found a single example, a possible flicker in Martian skies. Even if lightning is small and rare, it could interfere with future Mars landers, perhaps endangering instruments and people on the red planet. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Quintet in E minor. Well, hello there. Good evening. I'm Steve Seal. Nice to be with you on this holiday weekend, Monday night, and hope your weekend has been a good one. And I hope that if you have worked, that you understand the appreciation that comes your way for working during times and hours and days when other people are not working. And I'm happy to be working here, bringing you some great music tonight, which we're going to enjoy together from the English composer Gerald Finzi. Beautiful piece for piano and orchestra coming up. And hear from Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, a very hardworking fellow, who was one of the more successful and prolific sons of J.S. Bach. This is his Sinfonia No. 1. The Sinfonia No. 1 in G major by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, played there by the group Kli Incogniti, led by Amandine Bayer.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. For more information, visit bluecollarpress.com. And Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 84 and fair. Wind is from the south-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 84 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
So here's a little tune by a fellow who showed up on television the other night to help a certain gentleman say goodbye to his 11-year run at the Ed Sullivan Theater, a fellow who had had his own significant moment in that same theater 62 years ago.
Thank you.
Milos Karadaglic playing guitar. That's actually Sergio Assad's movement of Blackbird by the Beatles, a Paul McCartney tune. English composer Gerald Finzi had wanted to write a piano concerto, and such works often are traditionally written in three movements, a fast opening movement, a slow middle one, and a fast conclusion. Well, Finzi wrote the middle slow one first and never quite got around to writing the other two fast ones. But listening to this movement, it's tempting to ask, did he write this part first because this was the music that was truly in his heart at that moment? And so this is the part that really needed to be written. And maybe that's okay that the rest of the proposed concerto didn't get off the ground. It's always a victory when something beautiful is written. And that is the case with this piece he published by itself, and he called it Eclogue.
Thank you.
Eclogue for piano and orchestra by Gerald Finzi. Margaret Fingerhut, piano there, with the Chamber Ensemble of London led by Peter Fisher. Something American here, and very American indeed. This is from composer Dan Locklear. His Symphony No. 2 is subtitled America, and the individual movements are based on three significant American holidays, as Locklear sees them. First, Independence Day, then Memorial Day for the slow middle movement, and then Thanksgiving Day. Here is the middle movement, Memorial Day. the middle movement of the Symphony No. 2, America, by American composer Dan Locklear, and that middle movement called Memorial Day. I heard Kirk Trevor and the Slovak National Symphony Orchestra.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, working with communities across the state to build and care for small-town paths to wide-open prairie routes connecting Kansans to the land and each other. Information at kstrails.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 83 and fair. Wind is from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 83 and fair. That's KPR weather.
This is from the contemporary American composer Jonathan Lefschnoff, his double concerto.
Thank you. Thank you.
Double Concerto by Jonathan Leshnoff for clarinet and bassoon. Michael Ruzanek, clarinet, bassoon, and Manfred Hoenig with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Our music is supported by Progressive Insurance, providing direct car insurance rates side-by-side with other insurance carriers. Customers can see rates and find an option that works for their needs. Now that's Progressive. Learn more at progressive.com. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 83 and fair. Wind is from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 83 and fair. That's KPR weather.
This Classics by Request was recorded by and dedicated to production engineer Jeffrey Chubby Smith. He is remembered by the entire KPR staff as a steward of music and a great friend. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater and the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. This will be a Beethoven Tchaikovsky Rule Joyce recital with KPR's own Destiny Ann Mermagan, violin of prairieclassical.org. Her husband Mike Mermagan, who teaches cello at UMKC and Park University's concert pianist and teacher of collaborative piano, Lolita Lisovskaya Seovich. Destiny starting off by thanking Doreen Marande for her work putting this recital series together and congratulating Doreen on now having the Rule Joyce programs renamed as the Doreen Marande Professional Recital Series.
Hello, humans, yay! So nice to see you all here. Thank you for being here. We as performers love actually playing for real people, so it means a lot to us that you're here, and we are so excited to be sharing in this exciting news for Doreen. She is such a gem, don't you think? Yes. We're very, very excited. Our very first piece of music that we are playing for you is Beethoven Trio, Opus 1, Number 3. Did I get that right? Yes, okay. I should. I work on the radio, so if I screw up, my boss will hear about it. This is a really interesting trio. He composed it with a set of three, and the last trio, Haydn was his teacher, and Haydn was not a fan of Beethoven's last trio of the set, but Beethoven, being Beethoven, published it anyways, because he was a stinker. And so this particular trio is very intriguing. The opening, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it so you know what to listen for. The opening, the three of us, have the same seven notes in unison, meaning we all play the same note. But then Beethoven, being the ever trickster, he repeats that figure but moves it up just a half step. So it's like, whoo, it's really spooky. And it ends very, you might think it's the end of the concert at the end of this movement, but it's not. Then the slower movement, the second movement, is very beautiful and lyrical, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You could even put the word charming with Beethoven, which is amazing. The third movement, you might feel a little unsettled, and that's normal. We do too, because Beethoven was really playing around with the rhythms and the meters, and so it's not what you expect, and I think he was probably trying to tick his teacher Haydn off by doing it. The last movement is very virtuosic, and Lolita is an amazing pianist, so I am so excited that you get to hear this. The ending is unlike anything I am used to with Beethoven. It's in a minor key, the whole trio, which means it's dark and stormy, but the ending, it ends in a major key, in a happy key, and it's very soft, and you're just left feeling very unresolved. And Mike mentioned that perhaps Beethoven was trying to play a trick on the audience, so I know you guys won't fall for it, though. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's the surprise ending. great stuff. Actually, I was just realizing backstage that a lot of the old programs from even 100 years ago have been formed this way, with a major piece as the opener and then a bunch of short pieces or salon music for the rest of the concert. And that's kind of the model of this one. I don't know how it happened, but we just have a lot of short pieces that we're going to play for you now. So it says Tchaikovsky Valse Sentimentale is next, but I think what we'll do is we'll do that, and then we're going to do a Kreisler piece, and then we're going to do the second cello Tchaikovsky piece, and then we'll close with another Kreisler piece.
So you don't get too sick of one of us.
I thought it'd be a nice way to mix it up. But anyway, these pieces, the two cello pieces, are transcriptions from solo piano works. And apparently in the late 1880s, they were extremely popular. And when I read that, I wonder if that means Taylor Swift popular, or I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, but extremely popular, yeah, it must have been really well known by all audience members. And anyway, a cellist from the Moscow Conservatory, his name was William Fitzenhagen. He's actually responsible for the version of the Rococo variations that we have today. Tchaikovsky wrote a different order of variations, and one of them even slightly different than what is performed today. What's performed today is actually Fitzenhagen's arrangement. And originally Tchaikovsky was not very happy about that, but then he gave in eventually because everybody plays it that way, is what he said. And so he gave the publishers permission to publish it in the order that Fitzenhagen performed it. So these arrangements are also from Fitzenhagen, the piano cello arrangements. For, I think, the Nocturne, Tchaikovsky also arranged it for orchestra and cello after the Fitzenhagen arrangement. So cellists apparently really like this music, and I remember hearing it from my my teacher's album after he won the silver medal in the Tchaikovsky competition. He did an album in 1968, which included these two Tchaikovsky pieces, so that's why I chose them. They're something I used to listen to frequently when I was studying cello.
Very, very dramatic.
Well, I have a couple of short pieces. I am going to play one of them, the first that is mentioned there, Liebeslied, and that means love's sorrow. Kreisler was a violinist himself with a very unique sound, and thankfully there are still a few recordings left of him playing. So if you want to hear a really different kind of sounding violinist who sounds like the human voice and sometimes like a cat meowing, but in the best way, I highly recommend, really, I have a lot of cats, I like cats. I highly recommend checking out Kreisler and try to find the original recordings of him playing. They're fantastic. So this first one, Liebeslied, Love's Sorrow, will be followed by Mike playing his Nocturne, and then I will get back up here and play for you Schön Rosmarin, which means fair rosemary. And if you clap really well and you like us, we have a special encore for you. Thank you.
Thank you. something happy now that you're all thoroughly depressed. Such a good audience. It sounds like you want an encore. Thank you. We are going to play for you a tango, but first, I think Doreen deserves another round of applause for being such a gem to this city. We are so lucky to have her for running this series. We are very grateful to be here to share in this, and stick around and say hi to us afterwards. We're real people. We like talking to people. We don't get out much. We just sit at home and practice. A tango. It is one of the most famous of all time, Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla.
Destiny?
Yes?
I forgot to mention, there's a reception afterward that you're all invited to.
There's a reception afterwards. That's fantastic. Then we'll definitely be there.
Thank you.
With pianist Lolita Lisovskaya-Sayevich from the Park University International Center for Music, and the Mermaidens. Destiny Ann Mermaidan is the violinist and Kansas Public Radio's own classical music host. Her husband and music partner Mike Mermaidan is the cello professor at the University of Missouri's Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. This has been part of the Rural Joys Doreen Marande professional recital series that Johnson County Community College hosts each spring and fall semester. It's a series of free noon hour concerts held sometimes on Mondays, open to all students, staff, and to the public. Check jccc.edu for the latest schedule. Brought to you by KPR's weekly radio series Classics Live, which aims to bring you the best live and local classical concerts in the area. Chuck Smith was our recording engineer, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Kansas City pianist Poe Sam Head played that suite by Roberto Carpio Valdez. Recorded in our live performance studio on June 9th, 2023. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This Classics Live was recorded by production engineer Jeffrey Chubby Smith. We dedicate this performance to him and remember him fondly from all of us at Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR news and classical music, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. And support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Nouveaunt House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nouveaunthouse.com. And Heartland Community Health Center, providing primary care, dental, mental health, or help with a chronic condition. Heartland accepts all patients, including Medicare. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. military says it carried out self-defense strikes in southern Iran today. CENTCOM says that included missile launch sites and boats attempting to place mines in the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, President Trump says any peace deal with Iran should include an agreement by more Middle Eastern and Muslim countries to normalize relations with Israel. NPR's Brian Mann has more.
Most U.S. allies are focused on reopening the Strait of Hormuz and limiting Iran's nuclear program. But writing on his social media platform, Trump added a new demand. It should be mandatory that these countries, at a minimum, simultaneously sign on to the Abraham Accords, Trump said, referring to a diplomatic agreement now in place between Israel, the U.S., and a handful of countries, including Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. Trump says Egypt, Jordan, Pakistan, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia should also establish full diplomatic relations with Israel. The proposal comes after months of war sparked by U.S. and Israeli strikes. The former U.S. ambassador to Israel, Dan Shapiro, calls Trump's bid for a sweeping regional diplomatic breakthrough unrealistic. Brian Mann, NPR News.
Members of Congress are in their districts for the long holiday weekend, and as NPR's Tamara Keith reports, they're likely getting an earful from voters.
As part of a new NPR reporting project called Swing Shift, we're regularly talking to a dozen voters in swing states who don't always go for the same party. We ask them for one word or phrase to describe the current state of the country.
To me, that word is chaotic. Why? Gas prices through the roof.
With I would all say the chaotic. Strife.
The state of the country basically is out of control.
Disrepair.
Self-loathing.
Frustration.
Hot mess.
I want to say at a turning point,
the country is so divided.
I'd say divided.
Divisive.
Every one of those people voted for President Trump at least once. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The United Nations General Assembly has voted to adopt a resolution agreeing that the world has a legal obligation to address climate change. NPR's Julia Simon has more.
Last year, the International Court of Justice issued an advisory opinion saying that countries are obligated to reduce their use of fossil fuels. Burning oil, gas, and coal is the single biggest driver of global warming. With this new UN General Assembly vote, 141 countries agreed to back that International Court of Justice opinion. A few countries voted no, including Saudi Arabia, Russia, Israel, and the United States. The United States is the world's biggest producer of oil and gas. The Trump administration has called climate change a, quote, bogus agenda. Julia Simon, NPR News.
Asian markets are trading lower at this hour. U.S. futures contracts are higher. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The Education Department says students in short-term career and technical programs can now apply for federal education grants. The Pell Grants are designed to help the country's lowest-income students access schooling beyond high school with the help of federal aid. They're usually awarded to qualifying students who are pursuing undergraduate degrees or certificates. But under the new rule out this week, that money will also be available for students pursuing workforce training programs. The goal is to address labor shortages in healthcare and other high-demand industries. Hollywood's blockbuster season starts today, and NPR's Bob Mondello reports the industry is poised to have its best summer since the pandemic.
Hollywood always tries to have something for everyone, sometimes even a couple of somethings. And with Minions 7
now in Minion Vision.
And Toy Story 5,
no! It's good to see them fighting again.
Spider-Man A Brand New Day.
My name is Peter Parker.
And Superman's cousin Supergirl.
He sees the good in everyone, and I see the truth.
Christopher Nolan's epic The Odyssey.
No one could stand between me and home.
And Steven Spielberg's latest Close Encounters movie, Disclosure Day.
People have a right to know the truth.
What are you going to do?
Full disclosure.
There are a lot of potential blockbusters. This summer has 57 films opening on more than 1,000 screens, up sharply from last year, which has analysts saying 2026 might just top the previous post-pandemic peak.
Hi, Barbie!
Hi, Ken!
The Barbenheimer summer of 2023. Bob Mondello, NPR News.
And I'm Janine Herbst. And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
Thank you.
His Harlem Foot Warmers from 1930. Kicking us off tonight on Jazz in the Night with Ring Dem Bells, which included the vocal work and the trumpet work of Cootie Williams, followed by Rockin' in Rhythm, that would be a standard for the Ellington Band for many years. There featuring Tricky Sam Nattens, trombone, Cootie Williams' trumpet, Barney Bigard on clarinet. I thought we'd go way back to the really the dawn of the swing era and the coming out of Duke Ellington as a major force in American music. And we took those from a 2-CD set called the OK, O-K-E-H Ellington, music recorded for that jazz label. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to this holiday edition of Jazz in the Night. We'll be hearing guitarist Bobby Broom paying tribute to Sonny Rollins in just a bit. We'll also have the composer and arranger Klaus Weinerother with the Barbara Bruckmiller Big Band playing a tribute he wrote to Freddie Hubbard. And up next, we've got singer Judith Owen from her new album, Suit Yourself. This one's called Inside Out.
Say something, be someone, and start living your life. Start living your life. Start living your life, baby, inside out. And do something, free someone, and love comes from within, within. Start living your life, baby, inside out. Hey, oh, 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 oh. Mama can't help you. Won't tell you, won't tell you. All you got to do, all you got to do is live inside out, baby, inside out, inside out, inside out, inside out.
say something, be someone, and start living your life, living your life. You better start living your life. Inside out. Inside out. Inside out. Inside out. Start living your life.
That's Judith Owen, and she wrote that one with drummer Jameson Ross, called it Inside Out, from her new album on KPR's Jazz the Night. The album is called Suit Yourself. Great band there with their pianist David Torkanowski, bassist Les Rochowski, Kevin Louis Cornette, Ricardo Pascal sax, Jameson Roth drums, David Blackburn guitar. And if you suspected there's a New Orleans sound to that one, well, there was. That was a recording spot for this new album from singer Judith Owen, with guitarist Bobby Broom up next. The SF Jazz Collective up later this hour, also later this hour from the Vinyl Vault. We'll be hearing from saxophonist George Coleman here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the University